This is for real. Welcome, Mark.
No one ever claps for me.
Oh. Roger Dangerfield.
First time for everything. Usually, though, it's at the end when I'm done speaking. So this presentation this evening, I've taken the last several and condensed it down to provide some content, and then the last four slides are the new thing. So I'll breeze through this beginning stuff fairly quickly. The slide in front of you this evening is from our unaudited actuals. This was presented at the last board meeting, showing the variances between our estimated actuals and our unaudited actuals. As I shared with the governing board, it's the additional reserves that are truly our savings account and those resources that are available to us to help us through this period of deficit spending. And as I also said at the last board meeting, it is the one-time mandate dollars that we've been receiving that have been previously committed by the board for specific purposes that we will also be using a small fraction of those during the current year also in order to maintain our 3% minimum. This slide shows the pattern through 12-13 through 15-16. First, the surplus or deficit spending in each one of those individual years. And while we have seen some growth from 12-13 through 15-16, we also want to be mindful of that each year that surplus spending, not all of it flowed to our emergency reserves because some of that was restricted or committed for specific purposes. And as I shared at the last meeting, examples, the restricted programs are those federal grants that have been unspent and restricted for specific programs, or the carryover of our required and unspent 3% routine restricted maintenance account. The committed funds is largely made up of those one-time dollars that we've received from the state from the mandated cost reimbursement program. We've been receiving some one-time allocations for those. And also included in there is a number of other, as indicated on the previous slide, some other areas also that have historically been included and committed, including the carryovers at our individual sites. Those are the allocations from the general fund that have been unspent or donations that they have received but have also been unspent at the end of the year. There is the health benefits savings account. Those are the resources of CSEA and SMEA. They are not to be spent and cannot be spent by the school district. We have state categorical programs and also instructional materials. So it is those five categories that make up the committed fund balance. And the bulk of that, $11.2 million in 15-16, was the one-time mandate money that had been unspent. The assigned fund balance is no longer used by the district, and then the additional reserves, as I stated, is those resources that are above our statutory required 3% minimum. The total reserve percentage in each one of those columns represents the combined reserve, that is the additional reserves plus the 3% minimum. And so if you looked in 15-16, while we had a combined reserve of 11.1%, the additional reserves would have equaled 8.1% of the total amount that we had available. 16-17, we had deficit spending of $3.8 million and a total reserve percentage of 8.4% or a emergency reserve of 5.4%. In 17-18, we anticipate deficit spending this year of $13 million. That will wipe out all of the additional reserves, and as stated previously, we'll have to use about a little over $1 million of our committed funds to ensure that we require a 3% minimum at the end of the 17-18 year. In 18-19, the deficit spending will grow from $12.9 million to $17.4 million based upon current assumptions. There will be no additional reserves to pull from. We can use most of the committed funds. Again, the $820,000 we cannot use. And that will require, at a minimum, that we will need to make $8 million of expenditure adjustments in 18-19 in order to ensure a 3% minimum. And then if we make the $8 million adjustment in 18-19, in 19-20 our deficit grows to $23.3 million, and through 19-20 it shows that our cumulative deficit now, meaning the cumulative amount that we would need to make cuts, is about $31 to $32 million in order to ensure a 3% reserve throughout the 18-19 and 19-20 period. A little background, I shared this at the last meeting as well. With the advent and with the implementation of the local control funding formula, the formula, the way it is built, it funds schools differently. And we are funded differently than all other schools in the county. And specifically, we compare ourselves to the other unified school districts in the county. So you can see the red graph or the red bar shows that we receive approximately $8,271 per student or per ADA, while the countywide average for unified school districts is $8,987 per student or a difference of $716 per ADA. If you multiply that times our current ADA, that means we are funded about $16 million less than the countywide average based upon per ADA funding. As I said at the last meeting, and I don't ever want to be, I don't want it to be assumed that I'm sharing something that's not true. It is known that Warner Springs, Borrego Springs, and Mountain Empire are smaller unified districts in the county, and all three of them have less than 2,000 ADA, so they may not be an adequate comparison for us. But even taking them out of the equation, the countywide average would drop from about 89.87 to about 87.90. So it doesn't completely skew the analysis that I just recently shared. And it should also be noted that San Diego Unified, again, while much larger than us, they still receive almost $1,300 more per funding than what we receive, and that's per student.
Mark, can you just say again what the deficit for the year is for that? $716 less.
Oh, it would be about $16 million.
$16 million. If we were funded by
yeah.
Okay.
And I say that approximately because if you ran that through the formula, there's going to be all kinds of different things, but
right.
Approximately $16 million. So where do we spend our money? About 44% of our budget, and again, this is every dollar received. Where do we spend every dollar that we receive for 17-18? About 44% is spent on certificated teacher salaries. About 14% is spent on our classified salaries. And about 5% of our every dollar we receive is spent on management salaries. 29% is spent on employee benefits for all certificated, classified, and management. So if you add all of those up, by changing this, the previous slide that you saw this before was for the estimated actuals. I've now updated it for the unaudited actuals. So now it's changed from 91% to 92%. And so 8% is spent on operations and services, 5% is spent on books and supplies, and 2% is spent on capital and other. So this graph shows that we are spending 107% of every dollar that we actually receive or we're projected to receive in 17-18.
Mark, I have a question. The second year out, you have $31 million in the red. Has there ever been a situation that you're aware of that we're at that same magnitude? Usually we're in the red second year out. That's standard. But ever at that number of 31?
So just to clarify, and I'm going to go back a couple slides. Are you asking the line that says additional reserves, the $31 million?
Correct.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at the analysis to see if we've ever had this level of magnitude in the third year out. That's actually the third year. In 18-19, what would definitely be unique is the fact that we have a negative number in 18-19, which is our next year. That is very uncommon. The answer to your specific question, have we ever had that third column, that 19-20 being $31 million, have we ever had something that to that large? I don't believe we have, but I'd have to go back and look to see how large it's been. We'd also have to look at it as a relation to the total percentage of the budget because we haven't always had a $200 million budget either. So I'd have to look at what it has been as a percentage of the total budget to do an apples-to-apples comparison.
I understand.
And I'll do that. I can have that for you at the next meeting. What are some of the contributing factors to these rising costs? One of those is the CalSTRS and CalPERS increased contribution for the employer contribution towards retirement costs. In 12-13, our total CalSTRS costs were $5.5 million, and this year they're projected to be $21.8 million, while CalPERS is projected to increase from $2 million in 12-13 to $3.9 million in 17-18. This graph is both inclusive of the rising costs and the rising contributions that we required to pay, as well as the increase in number of personnel. And we have increased our personnel within the certificated of our certificated employees greater than we've increased our of classified. We've also had the rising cost of health and welfare. This graph is contributed by two different factors. One factor is that within this period between 12-13 and 17-18, there have been at least two increases in the district's contribution towards health and welfare. In addition to that, we have an increasing number of employees enrolling in our benefits as opposed to enrolling in another, you know, a spouse's employer benefits or that. So as we continue to look forward, we have to kind of manage our road ahead. And it's not just looking at 2017, our current year, but it's 2018, 2019, and continuing to look at the path that we have in front of us down the road. So the first thing is in November, the governing board will be presented with a list of specific budget adjustments to address the deficit spending in 2018, 19, and beyond. These adjustments will be presented in a draft format with no board action at the November board meeting. At the December board meeting, you'll get two presentations. The first presentation will be from an organization called the Fiscal Crisis Management and Assistance Team. At the last board meeting, the board approved a contract for this organization. It's called FICMAT, for FICMAT to do an independent third-party review of the district's budget and its budgeting processes and present to the board a its findings. Is the budget considered, is it realistic? Is it fair? Is it a accurate representation of the financial picture of the district? Following that presentation, you'll receive a presentation from staff, or me, on the 17-18 first interim report. This is a requirement in Ed Code to provide the first interim report to the board in December. And then also the governing board will be presented with the final current list of reductions for 18-19, and you will be asked to pass a resolution along with the first interim report. And this is in relation to the action of the governing board when it passed its adopted budget, when the county office asked for, at the first interim report, this resolution to be passed. It will be presented to you in a current format, but it will also be in a draft format. And as I said at the last meeting, that's because our financial situation will continue to evolve from December through June 30th. And so, if you looked at the rest of the calendar, in January, Governor Brown will come out with his governor's budget proposal. We will then produce our second interim report. Then the governor will come out with his May revise. And then we pass our budget before the state passes its budget. So we are always in front of the state. That is the system that is in place, and we have to conform with the system. But I just want to make sure the board continues to remember we are, this will be passed, it'll be a resolution, it'll be in draft format, and it can be modified throughout the rest of the year, but it will be the resolution that will be passed at the time. So what are some of the current thoughts from Cabinet? Over the last several months, the superintendent has been guiding Cabinet through a study session of what are some of the things that we can do and what are some of the things. And so this is a high-level area of various topics that we will be looking at. And again, you'll get more specificity on each one of these areas at the next board meeting. But first, we're going to review all one-time expenditures before implementing them for 2018-19. So, for example, we currently have positions on special assignment, whether we have, counselors on special assignment, teachers on special assignment. We're going to look at all of those positions, all of those, as I call them, OSAs, and we're going to look at all of those to determine can we continue to fund those positions in 18-19. Also, we have the Elementary Visual and Performing Arts Program that has been funded through our one-time mandated cost program. And so we will continue to look at that. That is an example of a one-time expenditure, as well as other one-time expenditures that are currently being funded in the current year. We're going to continue to review the possibility for reductions in district office administration and support personnel. This is something that has already begun. There have been many positions, or I shouldn't say many, there have been several positions already that have become vacant due to resignations or retirements. And with each one of those, there's been a concerted effort in analysis to determine whether or not we would fill those positions. And some of those have already been unfilled.
And you're aware of a number of those, Tracy Garcia's retirement. And-
yeah.
All of these as topics are areas that can be done outside of the agreements within SMEA or CSEA, and one of those also is the possibility to review adjustments to classing staffing ratios throughout the district. Our collective bargaining agreement calls for a 31-to-1 average, and so we can look at our current staffing ratios in relation to that language within the collective bargaining agreement, and there may be an opportunity to make some adjustments in those staffing ratios. Additional areas outside agreements, we will do a review and possible reduction or elimination of specific instructional and support programs. You know, as Melissa has said many times in our meetings and also at the board meetings in the past, that there are a lot of things that we have implemented, and we, you know, there may be some programs that we just cannot continue to fund in the way that we're currently doing them now. A couple of examples of those are, you know, how we're currently using our elementary physical education teachers in that program, how we use our counselors, how many counselors we have, you know, is a 1-to-1 ratio appropriate, or we need to look at some other type of a ratio. Those are two examples, and more will be said at the next meeting. A possible reduction in professional development for our personnel and our staffing within the district. Again, looking at those positions on special assignment. Also looking at the California Teacher Induction Program, or also known as CTI. Many of you may know it as that's under its old name of BITSA. Maybe looking at how we might be able to do that program a little bit differently. There will also be a review and possible reduction of school site administration and support personnel. Some of those might be assistant principals, library media techs, health aides, campus supervisors, just listing a couple of those that are currently being looked at. And then finally, there will be areas that we would be looking at and some assistance from our bargaining units, and specifically SMEA, CSEA, and also, you know, it's not a bargaining unit, but also our management team as well. The district will be requesting assistance from both associations to find solutions to address the rising operational costs greater than our projected revenues. The district is currently in negotiations with CSEA. The district anticipates it will sunshine its proposal towards SMEA at the November 2017 board meeting. And that sunshine process is required, and it will assist us in guiding our negotiations with SMEA as we move forward. And I think that's my last slide. Yep, so that just leads us to discussion. And I think Melissa has a couple. Do you have a couple comments you want to say before?
A couple of points to make. I think first, and I've been around a long time, and I shared with both of our kitchen cabinets, when I look at everything that's been done in the district in the last 4 or 5 years since we came out of the Great Recession, as it's been known, there's nothing that we have done that we should not be proud of. I think the board, I think staff, we've made decisions that are the right things to do for students. They're what we would want done for our own children, the right things to do for staff. I addressed a group of aspiring teachers today at Mission Hills High School, and we were talking about what it's like to be a teacher and what the demands are. And I can think of no more work that is more important or perhaps more demanding than tending to the intellectual development, the emotional health, the spirit that teachers address every single day, from 24 in a first grade classroom to 35 in a seventh grade room, or to 42 in an algebra class or a math class or some other class at the high school. Few people realize a secondary teacher sees close to 185, sometimes more kids, every single day. And I reminded this group, I don't know of a single attorney who handles that many clients in a day. Typically, the rule of thumb, Randy, correct me if I'm wrong, is usually about a week of preparation for every hour in front of trial. Somewhere along the line, I heard that. You know, I could tell you this old teacher would have loved to have anything even close to that before I went in and conducted a lesson. I don't know of a single doctor who sees 185 patients in a day, or even an elementary number like 34. And yet, the very health of our country in so many ways is dependent on the work that goes on in our classrooms every day. So I will say with my last breath, it is shameful that a country so rich, a state so blessed,
continues to fund education the way that it does. If this experience... If this experience as interim and now superintendent has given me kind of a second phase I see in my career going out, it is that I am going to be a strong, powerful voice that this must change, must change, or all we will see in the future is red. And if we don't speak up for ourselves, I don't think anyone else will. So we've got to get mobilized. And I did just get a book, Rules for Revolutionaries, How to Organize Everything. So look out. But there's a lot of language in here that I think we have to touch on just a little bit. When we talk about adjustments, you know, we're really talking about reductions. We're talking about taking away things we love that are important to kids that make a difference. We can do certain things outside the collective bargaining agreements, and we can do certain things inside the collective bargaining agreements. When I think about just one thing on this list, CTI, the BITSA program, and I've addressed those groups of young people for the last couple of years. We have a large group in year two and a smaller group in year one right now. But that program has made a huge difference in the competence, the confidence, of our first-year teachers and our second-year teachers. It's also helped all our veteran teachers who've been BITSA providers. The best way to hone your craft is to help others get better at it. So, you know, yes, can we save money by either shifting that program to the county, eliminating it altogether? And, you know, and G and I have talked about ways to do that. In the lexicon of things you can choose from, it's less painful, but all of it is Sophie's choice, and none of it will be easy. Because we don't do things wastefully in this district. We don't take on initiatives that are just nice-to-haves. They're all essential to what's right and good for our young people and